From high atop IBBC Studios in Washington, D.C., it's Rich Hall's U.S. Election Breakdown. The phone lines are open at 555-0101. Now, welcome your host, Rich Hall.
Welcome to U.S. Election Breakdown. I'm Rich Hall. 555-0101 is the number. Lines are open. It's 6 a.m. here in Washington, D.C. Millions and millions of people are waking up on the East Coast. And if you listen carefully, any minute now, you'll be able to hear the biggest collective what the f*** in the history of public outbursts. Here's today's top stories. Brick suppliers along the U.S. southern border get a jolt of good economic news. Hands on doomsday clock reportedly spinning out of control like a Warner Brothers cartoon. And seismic activities in Northern Virginia attributed to corpse of Thomas Jefferson spinning in his grave. Let's go to caller on line one. Hello, it's Satan. How you doing, Satan?
Friggin' cold down here, Rich. Need blankets.
Thanks for calling, Satan. Line two, state of New Hampshire. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Rich. It's New Hampshire. Look, what are the chances we could come back to England?
What?
Join back up with Hampshire. This whole independence thing isn't working out anymore.
Do you want to rejoin Hampshire?
What's up, Basingstoke? Yo, 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 Bognor Regis. Your little baby's coming home.
All right, thanks. 555-0101 is the number, folks. I'm joined, as always, by my intern, producer, and possibly shell-shocked British person, Nick Doody. Nick, what do you think?
Donald Trump becomes president of the United States of America. What's the worst thing that could happen? Oh, sorry, I got those two sentences the wrong way around. Donald Trump will be the next president of the USA. In other news, a lawnmower has just been elected Pope. Kermit the Frog has been arrested, suspected of the murder of Joan of Arc. And Fisherman's Friends are now accepted as currency in Luxembourg. All bets are off now. The news is just fridge magnets.
Oh, God. What other news have you uncovered?
I don't know. Our job is to show the lighter side of the US elections. Right now, that feels like putting sunglasses on a dog that's just been run over. I'm not saying this is the end, but might be a good idea to start gathering two of every animal. Yeah. Sad from Mexico, too. The peso just plummeted just when they're about to have loads of places to put cash machines.
It's the pollsters, I'm telling you, the pollsters.
Yeah,
they
pollsters.
Screwed it all up.
Pollsters have to admit they're just not a thing anymore. They're just back there with soothsayers and phrenologists. Just sifting through entrails is at least as accurate as any of the polls we've had in this election. So they're about as reliable as the average Tinder profile picture. If a pollster tells you your blood pressure is normal, you have 8 seconds to live.
It's not just the pollsters. It's not just Trump. I mean, Trump didn't do it all on his own. He had a lot of help from his ultra-conservative running mate, Mike Pence. So it turns out the combination of a guy who's against same-sex marriage and a guy who's against same-marriage sex was a winner. You relieved it's over?
Kind of. There's a few things that I'm not going to miss. Hearing about Hillary Clinton's pigging email server. She's 69 years old. If she knows what a server is, she's way ahead of anyone in my family. I have relatives that age who haven't really got over screw-top wine. My dad's 70. He once blew up his laptop trying to steam open an email.
I've never quite understood this whole furore about Hillary's emails being compromised, because basically anybody who wants to know what's in her emails can go stand under a balcony at the Ecuadorian embassy in London, throw some rocks at the window, and this kind of pale-looking guy who looks like that Mr. Humphreys from Are You Being Served? And he'll come out and tell you everything she's been up to.
I'm not going to miss that vague, uneasy feeling that maybe I'm a bit racist. You know, I was brought up my whole life not to judge people by the colour of their skin. And then you look at Donald Trump. Suddenly, I feel like some salmon. He's the colour of a traffic cone. It's really... Right, this is my favourite story from the whole election. Did you hear about the statue of him in Albuquerque?
No.
Like, there was a life-size bronze statue of Trump in the town centre, and they had to remove it after it turned out it wasn't a statue, it was in fact the real Donald Trump. But his makeup had hardened, leaving him trapped motionless inside it for hours.
But that's not true, is it?
Not that I know of.
That's not true at all. Well, I'll tell you what, we've made some mistakes on this show. We've made some huge mistakes. But we've been right a few times.
Yep.
We've made some bold predictions. People laughed at us. I haven't always been right, but there's been some times when I nailed it. And all the listeners thought I was crazy. Remember this clip? Remember this was, here's a clip from a show we did earlier this year when I predicted the states that Trump would carry?
Oh, yeah.
Listen to this. Remember this? Now, I got a list of states I believe Trump will carry. Where is it? Oh, Christ, my desk is so littered with Valentine's Day cards from today, February 14th, 2016. oh, here it is. North Carolina, Wisconsin, Ohio. Go ahead and boo, folks. I'm just putting it out there for you. And what about this one? Way back in the summer of 2010, remember that show?
Yeah.
This is long before either candidate had even announced they were running. And remember I said this?
Yeah.
Folks, don't be surprised if this Donald Trump fella not only wins the 2016 Republican nomination, but also the presidency. Hey, folks, you can blow those vuvuzela things all you want, but mark my words, this could actually happen. 555-0101, we have a new president. It's Donald J. Trump. Jackie from Bloomington, Indiana on the phone. Jackie, how are you?
Hello, Rich. It's Jackie from Vigo County here.
Oh, yeah, that's one of those towns that correctly predicted each president for however many years.
Yes, indeed. And we did it again.
You voted Trump.
Sure did. I'm not a fan of his politics per se, but I take my responsibility as Oracle of the United States very seriously.
Oracle of the United States?
Absolutely. I've personally predicted every single president for the past 50 years. What would you call that?
I don't know, Jackie. I suppose you're a psychic.
Thank you, Rich. I didn't expect you to say that.
So, can you predict our president in 2020, Jackie?
Sure can. That'll be Trump.
Oh, good God. 2024.
Trump again.
No, Jackie. That would be his third term. He'd have to leave after 8 years.
Huh? That's what you think.
By the end of that term, he'll be 82.
Not after his body transplant. He'll have the sprightly figure of a young Mo Farah.
But with a big orange head.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for calling. That was Jackie from Vigo County, Indiana. Might have been dropped on her own head as a child. We never know.
I'm still on the line, Rich.
Oh.
And the answer to that is yes.
Okay, so lines open, folks. 555-0101. We got a call on line one. This is Stella Chislehurst, and she's in Miami, Florida. She's the chairwoman of the Florida Vote Watch, which is a nonpartisan organization that encourages all Floridians to vote. Hi, Stella.
Hi, Rich.
Trump carried Florida. What do you think was the main factor there?
Well, of course, Florida is a very diverse state, Rich. The Hispanic vote definitely favored Hillary. But, you know, the thing is, the key factor in Florida is the elderly vote, and that can be broken down into distinct groups.
Right.
You have your 65 to 84s, who are generally concerned with Social Security, veterans' benefits, and who turned up the air conditioning too high? Are you trying to give me pneumonia? They tended to vote Hillary, whereas your 84 to 104-year-olds felt that Trump was the person more likely to paint their white picket fence for a nickel. But ultimately, this race was decided by the 105 to 124-year-olds who hated the name Hillary because they can remember when it was a man's name.
Interesting. Thank you very much, Stella. It's 5 after the hour, folks. Let's go to Wanda Pate, high atop the IBBC studios for news. Wanda?
Thanks, Rich. It's 50 degrees and sunny in the Metro DC area. These are the top stories. Donald Trump's inauguration speech will take place on January 20th, 2017. The oath needs to be repeated verbatim, which is causing problems for the new president, as these leaked tapes reveal.
I do solemnly swear. Of course I do. That I will faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States. I will execute it so bad. I'll execute Crooked Hillary, too. And to the best of my ability, which we know is the best. It's so great. I'm so great. Preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Reports are now coming in of an aerial dogfight over the East Coast involving Donald Trump's private plane and Air Force One. Various witnesses have reported Air Force One appeared out of cloud cover over D.C. and strafed Trump's plane. Trump's plane reportedly countermaneuvered with a barrel roll spiral dive and managed to escape after the plane jettisoned 200 gallons of aftershave lotion. Donald Trump made his acceptance speech at a rally in New York, saying,
"This election was rigged from the start. I do not accept the result. The right person did not win." What? You're kidding. You're crazy. That's crazy. Oh, right. I've been joking. I was joking. Such a joker. I'm President Trump.
It's important to be impartial, but I think we can all agree that the best man won. Sorry, the man won. Now back to Rich Hall's U.S. election breakdown, after this word from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm Dave Spate, owner of Dave's Tavern at Mount Street, Georgetown. You looking for a nice, quiet neighborhood tavern to enjoy a few drinks with friends? Then find somewhere else, pansy. Dave's Tavern is the place to drink to forget. Come on down here and get hammered beyond cognition. The world just went to hell in a donkey cart, so let Dave help you drink yourself into a stupor with dozens of alcoholic beverages guaranteed to ease you into a warm psychotropic fog. So remember, when you're trying to forget, it's Dave's. I'm Dave, and I do not recall this message.
Welcome back to the Rich Hall's U.S. Election Breakdown. Now on Skype, we're going to talk to Alex Edelman in Los Angeles. Alex is a stand-up comedian who previously volunteered for Barack Obama in his successful campaigns. Alex, how are you?
Yeah, I'm scared. Scared is the absolute number one emotional byproduct of this election right now. Mm-hmm. The past embarrassment right around the time Trump won North Carolina last night, and it left shame in the dust a while ago. But Trump may be a liar, but he was telling the truth about one thing. He said he was going to make us the most feared nation on the planet, and now he has.
Yeah. How do you characterize the atmosphere right now in the United States? What's it like over there?
I'd say cartoonishly sad.
Right.
It's like a nationwide puppy funeral.
Ooh.
The Dow Jones futures market has fallen 780 points. Do you know how horrifying it is for people to find that out on the same day they find out what the Dow Jones futures market is? Everyone is exhausted and ruined. It's a catastrophe. It's like 9/11 over here and over there, too, because I guess that's how you do your calendar or something.
I'm guessing you didn't see it coming.
I went to Florida this week to knock on some doors for Hillary, and judging from the two people who told me they had a gun, I thought it might be a possibility, but nobody really predicted this, you know, except maybe like the Mayans or something like that. Trump said that people who voted for him wouldn't admit to polls that they were voting for him, and he was right, but if you're running a campaign or people who are voting for you are afraid to admit it, then maybe you're the problem. Yeah. I'm worried, Rich.
Yeah.
I think I'm disconnected from the average voter and their cousins / wives. I'm worried for my black friends and my gay friends and my Nicaraguan flatmate. Not so much about him, actually.
No, why not?
Well, if Estro supported, I'd get the room to myself.
Right.
A lot of people in this country are different kind of worried about those black folks and gay folks. I think, they're afraid of them. The people who are afraid of them, they're white Christians, and they voted, especially in Florida, you know, to like have Trump tax them more and take away their health care and flood their homes more quickly. Although maybe it's not such a bad thing if Florida is underwater in 4 years.
Yeah.
It wasn't just white people, though, who were acting against their own self-interests. Trump did improve on Republican numbers with Latinos.
He did? What? Trump did better with Latinos than Romney?
Yeah.
What?
It's astounding. Trump threatened to deport them. He called them criminals, drug dealers, rapists, and they didn't just vote for him. They helped him win Florida. Maybe the most crucial part of his victory. There's literally no explanation other than that people will do anything for a free trip home.
Wow. Alex, if you had to guess, what do you think Trump's America is going to look like?
Mordor.
Okay.
I don't know. There's no way of telling. We'll know more in the next few months when he's inaugurated or something and he slips up and says, Hail Hydra.
So what comes next then? What comes next?
Like no one is sure. Like I assume a Hunger Games of some sort. I'm really scared, Rich. I'm calling in scared to work tomorrow. My friend Josie said to me that she couldn't imagine anything more insane and like short-sighted and embarrassing than Brexit. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I want to say the same thing about this. But I'm worried a friend of mine is going to, like, mention that 4 months from now, that this is the most embarrassing thing possible. And then 2 days later, we'll be talking about how shocked he is that Miley Cyrus is the new Secretary General of the United Nations.
Yeah. It's rough. It's bad. But you know what? We're trying to put a good face on this. Is there anything to be positive about?
Yeah, I'm positive we're all going to die.
Okay. Well, thanks, Alex. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Good luck there in Los Angeles.
See you later, Rich. Thanks.
Okay. That's Alex Edelman. Okay. On the line, we've got Lester Green. Lester is chairman of the American Society for People with Unusually Small Hands. Lester, how's the result going down there in the with all you small-handers?
Actually find the phrase small handers offensive.
Oh yeah, what would you prefer? Dinky pinkies? Elf fingers, twinkle mitts? What do you want to be called?
Well, the term that we endorse.
Stubby hubbies.
No. After a long consultation period with our breakaway faction, the Small Hand Alliance, the phrase is people with unusually small hands. Sorry, Rich. Just lost grip of the phone there.
All right, we'll get back to you.
Okay. Sorry.
Try speed dialing next time.
With my elbow.
Okay. 555-0101, line 4. We got Ben from Lickskillet, Tennessee. Ben.
Hey, Rich. Oh, gee, I'm not taking the news so well. I'm really worried it's going to affect my job prospects.
What are your job? What business are you in?
Well, you, my friend, are talking to America's number one Tim Kaine impersonator.
You impersonate Tim Kaine.
Mm-hmm.
Hillary's running mate, Tim Kaine. That
mm-hmm.
Tim Kaine.
Yeah. Can't you tell from my voice? It's uncanny. I spent months listening to him on YouTube just to capture that famous cadence and the funny way he says his T's.
Really? And you're keeping busy, huh?
The dream is over. He's not going to be on TV no more. So no more calls for Tim Kaine lookalikes at First Communions, christenings, and bar mitzvahs. I knew I shouldn't have put that down payment in that darn speedboat.
No, you probably shouldn't have. Even the real Tim Kaine couldn't afford a speedboat.
Yeah, and to be honest, all that plastic surgery seems like a waste of time now. Very painful, expensive waste of time.
You got plastic surgery to look like Tim Kaine?
Of course. Now, my mom said I'd regret it, you know. You're only 27, she said. Why spend all that money trying to look like a 58-year-old senator? But would I listen? Nope. I was too busy replacing my eyeballs.
Joining us live in the studio, we have Charlie Wolf. Charlie Wolf is a political commentator, former communications director of Republicans Abroad. I imagine he's probably pretty happy with last night's results. Welcome, Charlie Wolf. Welcome. Thanks for being here, Charlie.
Thanks.
When's the wall going up?
I figure he's going to get Mexico to pay for it first, and then get the wetbacks to put it up for him.
Yeah. I think it'd be great if he just built it himself, just brick by brick.
Actually, I was wondering why we don't sell him Hadrian's. We already got a wall, you know?
Yeah. So how are you feeling about all this?
I feel good. I mean, for once, you know, you go through 6 months of everybody thinking, my God, you know, what are you doing? And you put your case forward and you find out, yeah, the America was kind of going my way. So I feel happy. I see you're thrilled.
No, I'm pretty shocked. I'm pretty shocked.
Yeah.
But I'm getting used to it. Where can I get one of those red baseball hats? So you're sort of head up Republican voters overseas in that other country, Britain.
Mm.
Yeah. How many Republicans are there in, say, London?
Probably just me.
They're all going home.
But you see, as a commentator, there's a plus to this, because I'm now very much in demand. You know, I'm the only one who can do the talking, you know, that point of view. So
So have you talked to anyone this morning? Any?
No, I haven't, actually. I get them on...
Some of them may not know. They might still be asleep.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Or they're still thinking it's a dream. They're trying to tell themselves, you know, it's a nightmare. Yeah.
Well, you know, America's national nightmare is beginning. So...
Hey, it's going to do you well, too, isn't it?
No, I'm getting out of this business. Turns out us media elites are just jerks. We were wrong all along. On the wrong side all this time. So is this setting a precedent then now? This is the new generation of presidents? Are they all going to be billionaire businessmen? Are politics gone? Politicians, people who've been doing it all their lives, that's out the window. And now it's businessmen.
Well, as you know, ours is a country where anybody can be president. And this proves it.
Yep. I know. So what is your vision of the Trump future? What's America going to be like in the next 4 years?
I think that he's going to, you know, kind of clear house. He's going to give a good butt kick into the government. You know, I think sometimes we get a bit staid and set in our ways and, you know, I don't take this line that they're all crooks or whatever, but, you know, they're sort of like a club, and a lot of money comes in, and a lot of money goes out. And, well, what's that old expression, a billion here, a billion there, and then maybe you're talking real money. Well, this is a guy who's a businessman. He's going to walk in on the first day, and I just have this vision. He'll sit down at the desk in the Oval Office, and he'll say to his aide, bring me the financials. And I could just see him looking over this stuff and going, so this Department of the Environment and this one here, was it education and... What do they do? Oh, they do, yada, yada. Numbers don't look good. Fire them all. Get rid of it. Close it down. I mean, it ain't going to happen like that, but everyone can dream, you know?
Yeah. I'm thinking it's going to be a lot like Andrew Jackson. Andrew Jackson was a populist. He got in.
Bingo, yeah.
And then he just set about pretty much getting rid of everybody who pissed him off when he was running for president.
Well.
Is this going to happen? Is it going to be this huge revenge factor going on? Well, it's going to be a lot of wasted energy.
It'll be fun.
So that takes a year. There's 11 million Mexicans living illegally in the United States. Yeah. He's going to find them. It took him 4 years to find out that Obama wasn't born in Kenya. So how long is it going to take him to find 11 million Mexicans? 44 million years. So, all right. Well, I will say congratulations. I'm going to be gracious, and thank you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Let's just get along.
Thanks.
Because it's a big riff. It is a huge riff, and I'm worried about, I'm not worried about Trump as much as Trump supporters and just this general kind of viciousness that's going on, and I hope we put it all behind us and just get on with being what's left of America.
Yeah, so, I agree. We can be friends.
Yeah, yeah. We are friends.
We are friends.
I love you, Charlie.
No, we're still Americans.
Yeah, let's set the precedent for the rest of America.
Yeah.
Come over here and kiss me.
Thank you.
Charlie Wolf, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Thank you, Charlie. We got time for another call. Line to Barry from Cincinnati, Ohio. Barry, are you happy with the election result?
Not one bit. There's only one person can make America great, and that's Donald Trump.
Barry, Trump won.
I do not believe that. It's rigged. Hillary rigged it. I contest the result.
He won. Barry, he won.
Why should I believe anything the media establishment have to say?
You know, and I can't take calls from...
What? Take calls? You called me.
No, I didn't.
I was sitting in the den buying a new spade from Amazon, and the phone rang, and it was you. That's my opinion.
No. I didn't call you, Barry. That's a fact.
You can prove anything with facts. I got my own facts. Don't give me a spade and tell me it's a shovel. The whole reason I came to the studio today...
You're not in the studio, Barry.
You can't tell me that's not my opinion.
Well, you got me there, Barry. You got me there. Listen.
I am not called Barry.
Thanks, whoever that was. Time for our breakdown, ladies and gentlemen. Our breakdown.
Breakdown. Go ahead, give it to me.
Well, let's just break down what happened, people. Let's break down what happened here today, and I don't know what to say, folks. All the rules have gone out the window. America has elected a rank outsider. The bets are off. Anybody could be our next president. Quagmire could be our next president. They threw out the Democratic senators. They threw out the Democratic representatives. Everything is red. Trump is in. What do you give a man who has everything? Everything. In January, a new leader will move into the White House in those 132 rooms, or 528 walls, as Trump would say, won't ever be the same. The 8 years that Obama spent there creating a legacy will be totally wiped away. The strides that he made as president will pretty much have never happened. You know what I would do if I was Obama? I wouldn't hang around D.C. I wouldn't write my memoirs or build a library. I'd go to Pakistan, rent a little beach hut, and take people out on cruises, boat cruises, and show them exactly where they dumped Osama bin Laden. Charge $50 a pop. Get a taco and a Dr. Pepper, take them out there, little glass-bottom boat, have Joe Biden put on a shroud and swim underneath it every once in a while. He's going to have the time of his life. He's not going to miss anything. I wish I could tell you what the future holds for America, folks, but I can't. We've decided. America rejected a woman who pushed a button on her emails and deleted her history, and had voted for a man who could push a button and delete all history. We called this show U.S. Election Breakdown. We didn't mean it. On behalf of Nick Doody and myself, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the U.S. Election Breakdown. We'll see you again. Good night. Rich Hall's U.S. Election Breakdown starred me, Rich Hall, Nick Doody, Lewis McLeod, Deborah Stevenson, Alex Edelman, and Charlie Wolf. It was written by Rich Hall and Nick Doody with additional material from Ben Partridge, Grania McGuire, and Robin Morgan. And the producer was Joe Nunnery. It was a BBC Studios production.
Why does the sun go on shining? Why does the sea rush to shore?